Futures History 2, Chapter 15. Damon materialized in a side street, away from the public view. Normally, he wouldn't give a crap about risking an encounter which might alter the future in some way. But considering it was his future in this case, he decided discretion was indeed the better part of common sense. He checked the time. 13 minutes to go. Not bad. But not that good either, since he had to find Raj before the guy went and did something stupid. Wend had thoughtfully provided him with a digital timekeeper, based on her calculations on xenon time as seen from orbit. She also predicted a rough estimate as to when the embassy building would collapse, to the nearest 10,000ths of a second. Wend had apologized for not being more accurate. He told her not to worry about it. Of course, the Spole attack would begin shortly before anything collapsed. Those cybernetic morons had taken everyone by surprise. It was one thing to demolish military and tactical areas. People had had the sense to stay clear of those while they were waiting to be evacuated. Today, however, the possessed supercomputer had begun, would begin, a new strategy for exterminating its hated race, attacking civilian sites. This, of course, included the embassy building that Raj's parents would be in at the wrong time. Damon wished for the zillionth time that he didn't share the same lineage as that monster behind the madness. If it had been any other planet, in any other time period, Raj would have been easy to detect from the Mallard, but because the exceptionally high electromagnetic interference, presumably emanating from the supercomputer, he was just another Xenonian blimp on the ship's scanners. So Damon had volunteered to go get him, deeming Wend to be too much of a standout, maybe a more likely target. Not wasting any time, he took a number of side streets and alleyways, largely relying on his exceptional memory to guide him. The layout was 2 years old, after all, and Xenon looked different now, would look different, thanks to the redevelopment efforts. Even with his good memory, he knew the wrong turn could seriously cost him vital minutes. Still, with 12.5 minutes to go before the surprise attack, he remained optimistic he'd get there in time. Raj panted heavily as he tore down the main street, people hurrying to and fro to keep from attracting unwanted attention from the Spoles, stared at him as he bore past them, wide-eyed, towards the embassy building. He didn't care what people thought of him, didn't care if he was making an impact on their lives, altering the course of history in some small way, affecting, changing his future. All he cared about was getting to that embassy building and saving his parents. He didn't care that it wasn't rational. He didn't care that it might be a universal impossibility, considering collapsing buildings tend to be fatal no matter how many individuals are under it. The crimson sky seemed to match his present mood. At least it felt that way, with all the blood rushing to his face. In the back of his mind, some voice told him that the attack would soon start. Then his time would suddenly become limited. He stopped suddenly. He was standing at an intersection. The occasional speeder zoomed past at an astonishing rate. He forced himself to breathe slower, to collect himself. "This can't be happening," he told himself. "I can't possibly be losing my way." Yet if that weren't the case, then why was this area completely unfamiliar to him? Don't panic. Just look sharp. You'll see something that will help you. Look for a landmark. Look, damn you! And then he saw it, a spire poking up from the other tall buildings. Only one building had such a spire, and he just happened to be headed its way. Talk about luck. He raced onwards, his mind flooded with bubbling images of happy reunions and a changed future.
Groff.
Damon stopped. Spinning around, he saw nothing. Funny, he could have sworn he heard
Groff.
That noise. Looking carefully, he saw some shadows dancing from the street grate he'd just passed. Checking to make sure no bystander was observing, he walked over tentatively to the grating and peered downwards.
"Who's that?" he asked.
"Damon," came a female voice.
Seeing no reason to lie, he replied,
"Yeah?"
"Get down here now!"
Damon complied, without really thinking, a most uncharacteristic thing for him considering he wasn't at all overwhelmed by anger at this time. Once he dropped down into the sewer pipe below, he instantly recognized the one who had spoken. It was Michelle. Startled, he nearly cried out her name, happy to see she was all right. But he shut himself up before he could say anything. "Come on, Damon, think. That's not really her. Well, it is, but not the Michelle we are trying to rescue at the moment. This one doesn't belong.
Well, she does. That is, I don't belong. On the other hand, I do, but not the me. He stopped himself short when his already enhanced brain was threatening to melt. He noticed another standing behind Michelle, in the shadows. Then he recognized her, and a pain seemed to press on his chest. Caroline. He couldn't believe it. Here she was, again, just as he remembered her. Her light brown hair shined even under this filtered light and in this filthy air. Carol had been Michelle's best friend. He'd never found out what had happened to her. She just disappeared one day, and that was that. He couldn't even remember the day it happened. Damon's resistance cell members assumed Carol was either captured and modified, made into one of the spoles, or she had a far more merciful death at the hand of a laser rifle. Instant disintegration. Even though he had never admitted it, he'd considered himself her friend too, even if the reverse wasn't true. He just wished he could have told her so before she disappeared. "Hi," he said to her, hoping she'd say something. Instead, Carol just acknowledged him with a curt, disinterested nod.
"What are you doing here?" Michelle asked. "Aren't you supposed to be back at base, helping to organize our new strike plan?"
Damon thought fast. In all likelihood, his counterpart in this time would be back at the Rebel base, planning their next big move against the supercomputer and its legions. Of course, all those tactics soon changed after the attacks on civilians began. Afterwards, the tide had turned. The Rebels were then always on the defensive, and it was all downhill from there. For a brief instant, he considered walking right into the base and introducing himself to himself. He could just imagine the surprised look on his own face when he told him all the things he could tell himself. He could warn himself against upcoming pitfalls, problems, and discoveries. Beforehand knowledge that would benefit him greatly. No, that was impossible, mainly because it hadn't happened in the first place. As for now, he had to alleviate his present self from his current situation.
I know. I'm on my way there. There's just this errand I have to run first. I'll probably be there before you get back.
That last statement was true enough anyway. He turned to hoist himself back up through the grate.
"You look different somehow," noted Michelle, stopping him.
Thankfully, she hadn't noticed his clothes, which he'd only bought a few weeks previous, in his time. Carol, on the other hand, was eyeing him strangely.
"Must be my new hairdo. I'll see you later."
And up he went, back into the streets above, before either of the women could say anything more. Running, he checked his watch. 6:32.
Damn, that's it. No more time for any stops. If Raj gets anywhere near his parents, then we can kiss our continuum goodbye.
Come on, gotta stay optimistic here. Maybe I'll get lucky and Raj will change his mind.
Raj wasn't about to change his mind. Somehow he would find a way to save his parents. If that meant sacrificing himself in the meantime, then so be it. That vivid image was foremost in his mind. He had seen the collapse. He'd been only meters away helping with the civilian relief effort when the embassy's structural supports, after extensive bombing-related ground tremors, gave in. He peered into the main marbled, columned entrance to see if any more people were still inside. And that's when he'd seen them. Roger Sr. and Beatrice, his parents. His father had been supporting Bea, his wife, who'd obviously damaged her leg in some way. The injury was slowing them both down, but that hadn't concerned his father. He was totally focused on getting her out of there. Nothing else mattered. It was in those last few seconds that Raj and his father had made eye contact. What those older eyes said in that far too brief exchange would stay with Raj forever. He'd seen a desperate plea for help. That's why he had to save them now. He had to, somehow. It didn't matter that he might be altering some stupid timeline. Lives were far more important than hypothetical continuity, weren't they? He came up to the embassy building's entrance. The white stone shone deceptively, cheerfully in the early afternoon sun. This was it. His parents were in there. All he had to do was get to them and get them out of there, and a high-pitched sound soared from above like a number of approaching aircraft. That meant only one thing. No! Realizing he didn't have much time, he bolted into the embassy building and began his frantic search. Moments later, the bomb started to fall on civilian buildings for the first time. Again,